Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 290, The Mummy. I'm going to go on a limb and say this one will not be a two-parter.
I think that's a 60-minute of suck.
No. Plus we can't hold our stomachs enough to finish in one part.
No, it's summertime. I want to get to the pool.
Right, so 60 minutes of suck.
I don't know.
It does not deserve a 60
yeah,
minutes of suck.
But no. It doesn't deserve
how about
more
like
than 60 minutes.
65 minutes.
61 minutes of not so hot.
I say this is a 60 minutes of meh.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yes. Still cut it off, but it's not
60, 60 minutes of mediocre. Yes. Yeah. Much like this podcast. Touche. Yeah.
So before, let's go around the table and all the mediocre people can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe. Whatever.
I guess it's Kevin.
And this is Joe.
Wait a minute.
Well, we're supposed to be mediocre people.
Oh, wow. You planned that joke all the way around?
Dude, you're playing. Dude, you're playing checkers and I'm playing chess.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Don't miss the bull.
And this is Tom. I will still say my name because I'm that vain.
Yeah.
and we also have a guest returning.
This is Brad.
And you didn't have a way to like get a dig in on Joe?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry.
He did just say this is Brad.
Yeah. It'll come in time.
Yeah.
So, real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe, blah, blah, blah. And you can share the show. Join the League of Show Sharers. If you have and you haven't seen your name, it's your privacy setting. So either adjust them or friend me, and then I'll see you. One of the two. So, there you go. So, with that being said, we will now...
Let's unwrap the mummy.
Oof. Oh, you've been waiting for that? More like unravel.
Yeah. So... 1999, right?
Heard of it.
Phantom Menace.
Yes, that's what I'm going to talk about.
One of Prince's highlights.
It was.
Of many.
Yeah, yeah.
Bat dance. Did you party like it was?
Well, yeah, you have to.
By virtue of definition, this is what people don't remember about 1999, is like, even if you went to a bad party, you were still partying
like it was
1999.
Yeah.
It was kind of anticlimactic.
Okay.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So there was a reboot of The Mummy starring Brendan Fraser.
Oh, Monkey and, Bone.
Yeah, Monkey. No, I just said I said The Mummy.
No, that's his pet name for Brendan Fraser.
No.
You don't want to know why.
Is he in movie jail? What happened to that
he's
guy?
He's in retirement jail.
He just quit?
Yeah, he just stopped.
I think he just kind of doesn't care. Like, yeah. Yeah,
I mean his biggest contributions over the past few years have been like as memes from award shows. So you know,
was he Encino Man?
Oh yeah, that was his first.
Yeah,
Encino Man, Airheads.
Yeah,
one of my personal
Blast from the Past.
Blast from the Past is a great
so good.
Movie.
But you know, the deal is he, I believe, was holding out the first Journey movie
of
was,
Gods and Monsters.
Oh yeah,
he
that's
was
right.
Good
yeah,
that.
You know, there was a line in this movie where they say Gods and Monsters,
I know.
And I was like, okay, now you're just There's two things. Like, now you're just rubbing the guy's face in it.
Yeah, yeah. There's two things in this movie that are throwbacks to that. Yeah.
But I think what happened was
the other being that Tom Cruise is gay.
Correct.
Yes.
That's exactly what it was.
I think what happened was
we're gonna get sued.
The first Journey movie was very successful.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he was holding out. He said, I wouldn't come back unless the director came back. And they hired a different director, and they got The Rock. So that's what happened. He had a multi-$100 million franchise, you know, that he could have tagged onto, but he just made sometimes you make decisions.
And those first two mummies were good. They weren't good?
The second one was kind of dumb.
Was that Jet Li?
That's the third one.
The first one.
The Rock.
I think the second one had Old Dirty Bastard in it. The first one, I'm serious.
The ODB.
ODB was in the third one?
I think so. No, in the second one.
No,
he was like a helicopter pilot or something. We'll check that.
The first one.
Maybe it was RZA.
It was okay because we didn't have. I mean, it made it an action adventure.
Sure.
Around the mummy.
Yeah.
And he was also, by the way, a mummy for like 5 minutes. And then he was just a big Egyptian guy walking around in robes.
A sand cloud. Yeah. Which they did.
This was at the height of like
sand cloud
CGI-ness.
Oh,
no.
The height of sand cloud.
No, the height of CGI. Like there was so much CGI in that movie.
Yeah.
When you
There's
see
a
it
lot
now,
of
you're
CGI
like,
in that movie.
Yeah.
Go back and watch that second one. Look at how bad the Scorpion King looks.
Whoa.
It is rough.
So bad.
It is rough.
Yeah.
I think there's a fourth movie that stars Batista that went straight to DVD.
There's a third one with Lou Ferrigno.
So that's the fourth one. The third one is Jet Li.
No, I'm thinking Scorpion Kings. There's the third Scorpion King.
Oh, you're right. That's what it is. That's
Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, they spun off the Scorpion.
Yeah, they kept going with that direction. So it was The Rock. Then it was him. And then I think it was a different wrestler, but we'll have to look it up.
Doesn't matter.
But yeah, they kept spinning those off into oblivion.
So this one opens up in the past, and we see the gal from Kingsman. The spring
pogo
leg. Pogo legs. And we're told that
from Star Trek Beyond.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
The white
she's all the makeup and everything. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is she really?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, I forgot
I loved
about
her in that.
That
movie then.
She's one of those like Zoe Saldana who like through all the makeup is still hot, you know? Like
Yeah, but Zoe Saldana doesn't wear it like Zoe Saldana's skin is green. That's the amount of makeup she wears.
Well,
in
Avatar,
Guardians.
She's a computer character, but she's still like wow.
You're like
But you can see it's always
you like you like the girl bunny from Space Jam, don't you?
Who played her? I don't even know who that.
No, I have no idea.
Oh, but it's like you still like you're like that's Zoe Saldana. There's no mistake.
Yeah, they also did make their faces look like
right. I mean, that's what I mean. She looks like her. So like in Kingsman, she's a normal person, but the pogo legs. But then in Star Trek, total makeup, total white.
Yeah,
but she's kicking ass. And you're like she's awesome.
She was cool.
Yeah,
and she's cool. Like I think she is fine in this too.
Yeah.
So we learn that her dad is the king, and she is next in line, and she has everything's good to go, and then her father has a son, and everything's taken away from her.
Yeah.
So she enters a deal with Set, the Egyptian god of the underworld,
God
of death,
yeah.
Where she will, she has to kill the king, and the pharaoh, and his wife and the child, which they murder a baby in this movie. Which I was like
later on she apologized. I loved my dad. And
yeah.
Like, you killed that baby.
And she's like,
doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
they were different times.
Yeah. They were different times.
I don't remember them besides Antichrist. I don't really remember like, oh, we're gonna kill a baby and then we're gonna show you the blood splatter. Like, because they do like she slits the baby's throat and she gets covered in blood. And I was like, well, okay, kid, no coming back from that. Then
hey, I wouldn't have thought a baby would have that much blood.
I didn't know. Who knew?
Planned Parenthood.
Can you turn? Is there a vacuum cleaner sound effect that we have?
That's enough of that.
Or maybe a microwave beeping
that's
or something.
That.
Yeah, you just poke it.
I'm just gonna use the microwave.
My microwave is for cats only.
Moving on.
So then she has to kill. She's like the guy that she sleeps with, much like Basic Instinct. To give Set a vessel, She's stopped in the process. She's mummified, alive.
At first, I thought she got shot with like a real gun. I'm like, who has a gun in ancient Egyptian? Because when she's like holds the scythe or whatever the up knife. In the air, the knife, and then all of a sudden she's, you hear like a large noise, like you think someone gets shot in that kind of a scene. And I'm, before like a I dart. Saw a dart, I'm like, what? Someone's blasting her from the time.
There's all kinds of problems.
Like,
yeah, it's Van Helsing. He's just like, thumbs up, bitch.
He might be in the sequel. After
he
this
might
one,
be.
But,
yeah.
All
right. So she's buried and she's mummified and, you know, we are
alive.
Also alive.
Oof.
Would that, and I will say, that sounds terrifying.
That's worse than buried
that
alive.
That is the
You're
worst.
Mummified alive. Can't even move.
I kind of kept for a while thinking that they were going to make, because I haven't paid attention, so maybe this is already in news and I should have known, but I was wondering if they were going to make Tom Cruise's character Van Helsing, because they kept saying Nick, like, for real, don't ever turn a drinking game into every time they say Nick in this movie, because you will be dead.
You'll die.
Yeah.
You will
die within the first 30 minutes. That's the curse.
If you become the next.
Yeah. I will say that, we're just going to say it now, Tom Cruise becomes the mummy. Like, and that they don't
he
tell
becomes
you,
a monster.
A monster, I guess. But he,
but it seems like he took on the, what would have been.
Because, like, yeah.
Tom Cruise
becomes the biggest fault of this movie.
Yes.
Which is, like, they're like, they had a good idea. And they're like, but they're going to do it with a female, which
right.
I
fine, whatever.
Was great. Great character design. They did all the good tropes of the mummy. She walks real slow. She's not in a big hurry, you know. But then they were like, oh, and we got Tom Cruise. And I don't know if his production company.
I don't remember.
But they basically said, now what we need to do is make sure that everything centers around Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the fault of this entire movie.
I don't know that we can lay that all at the feet of Tom Cruise, just that if you hire Tom Cruise to be in a movie,
you're $135 million.
You're
going to
make a
yeah.
Tom Cruise movie.
Well, yeah. And here's the thing, though. It's like you've got competing franchises. You've got, you know, a shared universe and a franchise of the mummy or the monster movies.
Right.
But then you got Tom Cruise. And it's like, so what do we do with Tom Cruise? I don't know. We'll make him some sort of monster god who's good and bad and also can resurrect the comic relief because they tested well.
I'll tell you what, when I, and whoever saw it and it so tested they, well with are morons.
They kept saying Nick, and I was like, yeah, that is Nick.
From New Girl.
The New Girl, yeah.
But the jokes, just since you mentioned that, I thought every single, like, when they tried to interject and have it be like Brendan Fraser mummy comedy,
yep.
His little one-liners and stuff,
so
every one of them fell flat. It was terrible.
I disagree when it comes to Nick from New Girl.
Right. Oh no, no, Tom Cruise.
Was,
no, Tom Cruise.
Yes.
One liners.
Yeah, he
him
was
being
awful.
Brendan Fraser doing that, those quips and stuff was not funny. And I like Tom Cruise, and I think he's charismatic. So that writing, I guess, it just did not work. Every time he tried to do that, I was like, no.
Yeah, I was not. Which is tough because I never thought I would compare Brendan Fraser to Tom Cruise, but Brendan Fraser's
off.
Delivery of those quips and the how quick witted he was. Came off better in that version than Tom Cruise in this
Absolutely.
Version.
Every
but
time
I feel like they're
joked,
trying to do the Jack Reacher thing. You know what I mean? Like where he was just like, I'm smarter than you, and I'll be an
but
asshole.
For
about
me,
it.
That worked in Jack Reacher, and this
not in Jack Reacher 2.
Maybe I thought it was okay, but the first one it worked, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I really think they were trying to. I think that's a big problem with this movie is they don't know what they want it to be. So instead of just going a straight monster movie, they tried to do this. Comedy with a monster movie with horror jump scares. It just was like
there were scenes where like I honestly wasn't sure if they were joking or not. Where I was laughing, but I was
like, am I supposed to be laughing?
I wasn't sure if I was laughing with it or at it.
Yeah. Anytime the mummy was on the screen, I liked the movie because I liked the mummy and I thought like how she played her character.
Yeah,
and that actress I was like she's there was something about her like I liked her in Star Trek Beyond too. I thought she was great.
Kingsman, I thought she was good. She didn't have many lines, but she was
menacing. But I mean, she's definitely, you know, I think she's got charisma. She's got a unique look, and they, you know, they did.
I think the movie should have focused on her a lot more. Like, I think Tom Cruise was too big for this movie. Like, he could have been replaced by
there's
somebody.
An entire, like, there's like a 20 minute
almost anybody.
There's like a 15-20 minute gap where like they, you know, have to, you know, there's a lot of exposition.
Yeah,
and
there's
I'm
a lot
like,
of exposition.
Oh, this is a good time for you guys to get back to the mummy. Because
are you referring to Dr. Jekyll or and Mr. Exposition?
Yeah.
Oh, when he tells the story to the audience.
Scene.
Like, yeah. Exactly, yeah. To the audience and that, not yes. Anybody in the movie.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. So we should say that, yeah, Dr. Jekyll's in this. And then there's Jibberdee-Jew. Jibber Jabber, what is the name of their secret society?
Oh, I was like, Mr. Hyde.
No, the secret society that they get. Prodigium.
Hammer.
Is Prodigium?
I don't know.
But they have a secret society. Yeah, because they even say Prodigium from the Latin blah, 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 monster.
They, yes, and I'm right. Like, they did say something like something
what?
Stupid.
That's first of all, it's a terrible name. And second, who thought it was a good idea to have that guy who in charge?
Who, Russell Crowe?
Well, Dr.
Yeah,
Jekyll.
The why is guy. Dr. Jekyll in charge of
all the guys? You, hey, is Larry Talbot around? Because we need somebody else in here. No? What,
I thought he, didn't he, wasn't it his organization? I thought he created it.
Yeah.
Did they tell you?
He must have,
but
I'm
it's
guessing.
Sort of like to deflect the attention from the fact yeah. That he turns into an angry cockney.
Did you know he was Dr. Jekyll before seeing the movie?
Yeah.
No. I didn't know that.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah. I liked that when yeah. It was revealed that he was Dr. Henry yeah. Jekyll.
Did like, you like it when they revealed him as Mr. Hyde?
Let me tell you. Oi.
Isn't there a story where Mr. Hyde is Jack the Ripper?
I don't know.
I think there
but if there
be.
Isn't, you should write one.
Done.
There, yeah, it's like when all of a sudden he went into his Cockney accent. I'm like, this is like a community theater production of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
What is happening? Yes. And here's what he should have done. He should have flipped the script, and he should have made Jekyll Cockney and Hyde upper crust.
Yes. Interesting. That would have been interesting.
Right? Like yeah. That. Like at least you're doing something different.
So
right,
you can
right,
hide right. In plain sight.
Right.
Oh yeah, sure. That makes sense.
And it also
I was like,
it also
hide
has this
in plain sight.
It also has this element of like, it, and especially in today's world of you know of Occupy Wall Street, mm-hmm. The 1% that yeah. It's like it's that's the dangerous dude.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the guy.
Jekyll's the danger.
That's yeah. The yeah. Guy that'll
Hyde,
kill you.
Hyde just wants to mess stuff up.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, still have Jekyll be Jekyll and Hyde be Hyde, but have. Have
the voices,
have the yeah, voices, yeah. The personalities flipped to where the murderer guy is real, is the upper crust guy that would yeah. You would
lull,
trust
lull you into assault.
Yeah. Hey, man, Jerry Lewis, he did it. He yeah. Did it best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
turned into Buddy Love, and you're like, whoa, that you hey. Know, just flipping it.
Mm. Yeah,
I was like Steve Urkel and Stefan Urkel. No,
oh my gosh, forgot about that.
And when you see Hyde,
yeah.
How horrible is that?
Oh, that's pretty bad.
That yeah. Was some of the
did
laziest
context,
the laziest makeup.
So
ever.
Like, I'm and you're gonna base a whole movie around this dude?
Yeah,
I don't. Like, I mean, is that
the
he plan? His own movie?
And I get like, don't go all the way into League of Extraordinary Gentlemen where they like made him like a massive. Yeah, I mean that was dumb.
Yeah,
but I think more than just like you know throwing some dirt. And making him dirt on his face, making him sweaty, and giving him some yellow
yeah.
Contacts.
Yeah,
it was
put veins on the side of his.
Was,
head.
What's
it
up
was,
with his hand? His hand is like
so.
Limp
he keep,
until
well,
he
injects keeps
it.
Stabbing like that's.
But his hand like inflated in the glove. It was like
yeah,
almost
yeah,
like
yeah. So like
that's his.
One of the things they have always kind of done is that,
hand.
Is that Hyde.
Yeah, he's got a Hyde hand.
Hyde does get bigger,
right?
Like his body changes when he turns into right. Hyde. So I just pictured it was just like, oh, he's just.
Or except, no, except for this movie when he does it.
No, yeah, I mean, the right. Hand was like dead. You know what I mean? The hand was not moving
when
he ejected
Jekyll.
It and his hand filled up the glove and he couldn't move it. And so I just was curious if that was part of the mythology. Does Dr. Jekyll usually have like a limp or like a non-working
hand? I can honestly tell you I've never seen Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Have you watched what's the female one? What was that movie?
Mary Riley.
Oh,
with John Malkovich and
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Malkovich, I loved the way they because they he did.
Did they
you know,
do
Malkovich,
two
so he's
of
very
movies?
Very subtle.
Did they do two Mary Shelley too? Right.
That was
Frankenstein.
It was Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
But wasn't there like a Frankenstein one that was based around the woman?
Uh huh.
What was that?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah. No, there was a Mary Shelley based.
Yeah.
Story.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait a minute. Is the Bride of Frankenstein the Bride of Frankenstein's monster?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they call it Bride of Frankenstein who creates
well,
Frankenstein.
They just call it.
I think it's like when Coca-Cola finally was like, okay, fine, we're Coke.
Yeah.
No,
I just realized I've never thought of Bride of Frankenstein.
But they don't call it Frankenstein's monster. They just call it Frankenstein.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I never realized that
he kills the bride of Dr. Frankenstein. In the,
yeah.
Spoilers from 1939.
It's like Shazam. They call him Shazam now.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So it's like they just.
So it's like it's Bride of Shazam.
Bride of Shazam.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Starring Mary Marvel.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we flash forward to the Crusades, and there are a bunch of Crusaders that has the dagger now from previous, and one of them is buried with just the stone. So then we flash forward again to
present
Tom,
day.
Present day to Tom Cruise and Nick, because I don't remember the guy's name, and they are in the army.
Was it Val?
It is Val. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah,
I like Nick better.
The character. Nick. It was weird hearing him call somebody Nick. Yeah. If you watch New Girl, it was.
Yeah. It's very weird.
Yeah.
I didn't get at first. I'm like, what are these people? I didn't realize they were in the military,
so
like scavenging.
Army, but they're also looters.
Yeah. So
like,
I'm like,
so they're just stealing whatever they say. You're going to steal whatever is not nailed down and sell on the black market.
This makes more sense now that I know they're in the military and maybe they were on some kind of an operation. But at first, they're breaking into this village and stealing their stuff, and then they just start murdering people. They're like defending their village. But if they're,
but if they're
insurgents and they're on a mission,
well, they say,
I just thought these looters were like murdering people to steal.
Well, and also if you remember, so it opens with the
Crusaders, right?
Well, no.
Oh, when
we get to Iraq,
yeah.
It opens with, I guess, like a Taliban type group destroying monuments,
right. Okay.
And so like, and that's been happening. Like they'll destroy these like ancient relics because they're like, well, that's not Muslim, and so they'll destroy them.
It. And so they're on a mission to.
So I liked this premise, of that they're going around and they're.
Well, they're going to destroy it anyway.
They're stealing these relics because their rationale is they're going to destroy them anyway, so we might as well steal them and sell it. We'll make money, and this stuff is safe. Yeah. And I thought that was really... I really liked that idea.
I did, too, yeah.
Because it kind of made them outlaws, but not really...
Not bad guys.
But not full-on bad guys.
Made them Robin Hoods.
That would have been a good movie.
Yeah, except they keep the money.
Yeah.
And
it's like Three Kings.
Yeah,
that's a good yes.
Especially because, like, in today's world, you know, Indiana Jones is not doing it right with today's morality.
Can't do it.
You know, like, he's not...
He's the bad guy.
He's taking these artifacts from their country of origin.
He's the Nazi.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, one of the lines, like, that belongs in a museum. Like, that nowadays, people would be like, but it doesn't. It belongs in their museum.
Well,
and,
when the bomb hits and it's gone for the rest of the...
Yeah,
you know.
But, you know...
That belongs in a museum on the North American continent.
So, yeah, they're running through this town and they're stuck on this roof. And I did like this interaction where Tom Cruise is like, just let me think. He's like, we're going to die. He's like, all right, we're probably going to die. Like, that's probably going
to
happen.
I did like the Nick.
Nick. Val.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did like Val's reaction because he ropes him into this and he's like, it'll be fine, in and out, and then all of a sudden they're dodging bullets. Like,
right.
I did like that humor where it wasn't like jokey joke, but it was visual humor. So you'll be fine, in and out, and then all of a sudden it doesn't cut to them starting to go into the village, whatever.
No.
Boom, they're running and shooting... People are shooting at
them. So they call in an airstrike.
Yeah.
And then an airstrike comes in and they blow up the bad guys. And this is where we get
Does the airstrike conveniently hit on top of where they need to go down?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
We see
a massive cavern, which I don't know how their infrastructure works, but I'm like, that thing is huge. That whole place
would have caved
in.
That whole town should have caved into that hole.
But whatever.
Sure.
When the roof is sand, how does that work?
Yeah.
It's not like basements in Florida homes, but they figured out how to do
this. You can
We're introduced to Courtney B. Vance, who was the...
Who is this?
He's the district attorney from Law and Order Criminal Intent.
Okay.
That's what I know him from.
Oh, okay. I've never watched those.
Stuff. Criminal Intent's great.
Yeah.
He was also like the client that T.J. Miller was going after in Office Christmas Party.
Oh, okay.
So he's
good as the police sergeant or the, you know, that role.
He's the guy
generic role, the superior that's yelling at his
I want to say he played... Johnny Cochran, but since I was, by the way,
he
I
did
was
play
I was,
Johnny Cochran.
I was totally off about ODB, but
of course you were.
this is why I don't drink anymore, because it's been a long time since I saw that movie, and I was in an alternate reality.
He also does play Johnny Cochran on The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Okay, so I did not make that up.
You're not a racist.
I saw that.
But who was in The Mummy? Who was
Sean
it?
Parks?
Okay,
he's from like the Guy Ritchie school.
Okay, yeah. So they
he was playing his version of ODB.
Oh, was that? Was that his
character? I was like, seriously, like the way he plays the character.
In the same way that Michael Jackson was the inspiration for Willy Wonka for Johnny Depp, ODB was the inspiration.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Michael Jackson was the inspiration for Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, God. I mean, look at the way he portrays it.
You see it now. You're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the airstrike just conveniently.
Oh, and don't send your kids to that chocolate factory.
Mm. That's not going to happen.
You don't want to know why it's called a chocolate factory.
I was waiting for it. I already had it in my hand. Nice try, Tom.
Good tag team.
Yeah.
So,
No. Put it down. Shaking the maraca. Man, I'm going to have to use my other hand.
And I did that to myself.
It's okay, I'm maracaing myself.
Oh, yeah.
Dan,
I
can't stop. Your forearms are getting very large. Is it because of the maraca?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
Checking.
Wow.
All right, we'll see you later, folks.
Show's over.
The show's over. So, yeah, they conveniently blow a giant... Well, they blow a hole in the ground that just so happens to lead to a...
Straight down to the...
Massive hole in the ground that isn't... Like, when they start... I'm thinking, like, okay...
Yeah.
We're going to say 20 feet deep.
They're going to crawl into this cavern.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Well of souls.
Yeah, it was so big that I'm like, do they really have enough rope for this?
Yeah. How much rope is it?
Times three?
What
where was that rope at? Yeah. Because I didn't see him running around like with a giant like truck.
Hey, we need
with
the rope.
Spools of rope.
One guy's like, oh no, we left the spool of
we're
rope.
We're talking 100, I mean, couple
more.
100 feet.
Easily.
You know, it was.
Yeah, it was huge.
It was a.
Yes.
Like. So
it looked like the end of Pirates of the Caribbean, like when the water was drained out or whatever. And anchor was going up from the bottom to the top of the ocean. Like it was.
I can accept that because it's the ocean.
But this was
the
really
land.
Yeah. A giant, like.
So they get down there, and we forget to say they've
introduced.
Isn't
that the mystery of why is this in Iraq, right? Because it's the Egyptian pyramid.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. They're like, what is this doing here?
Somehow, to bury this mummy, they transported. Like a sphinx, like it was like
a little face
to Iraq. So that's a
far away from Egypt.
Yes. We should say that we are now introduced to the female protagonist.
And who is that? She looked familiar.
She did look familiar, but I don't know what I knew her from. We've done 290 of these things.
Yeah,
folks are going to start blending together.
She was not
ODB.
And I know that 100% because he's dead.
Yes.
Oh,
he died in prison, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I don't know. I shouldn't say anything.
I would just
again.
I'm almost positive that's right. I feel like that was one of those Kurt Loder MTV
the 90s
Kurt Loder. Yeah.
So they lower themselves down into this cavern. The woman is reading all the hieroglyphics, and she's like, "This is a tomb, and it's a warning, and it's bad. So let's touch everything."
So whatever you do,
much like Judy Moon in Suicide Squad, where she's like, "I'm the greatest archaeologist. What's this?" Oh well, all right.
And I like how Tom Cruise is like, chain. Mummy casket, pulley thing.
I actually kind of, but he would do that.
Yeah,
yeah. That character.
What I didn't like about that was here's this mummy that this
we don't know what it is yet.
This evil. No, hang on. Here's this evil spirit.
Yeah,
right. That's so bad. We're gonna mummify her alive.
Mummy fire.
It's from Sugar
it's a new,
Fire.
It's a new. Really, it's a new search engine.
It's a good restaurant.
Yeah.
We're gonna trademark that now.
Hey.
We're gonna mummify her alive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which by the way, is just wrapping her in bandages.
Right. Because unless you embalm
mummification
her
and is process
the
is really brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're gonna mummify her alive. They're gonna take her like 1,000 miles away.
Correct.
Yes.
And they're gonna bury her deep in the ground
with mercury.
In a pool of mercury.
In a pool of mercury. And then, just to be safe, they're going to create an elaborate pulley system that can bring her back up.
Yes.
That's so well made, it can last 5,000 years.
Yeah. But as soon as you shoot it,
yes,
that activates.
Activates it.
So like,
bring her on up.
Why would they have ever put anything in place to bring her back up?
I don't know.
They don't want her back.
They said it was to keep her down.
Yeah, but that's
so like,
the
shooting
way,
must,
the way it were to keep her. Why would it have a reverse?
Well, I'm guessing the weights that kept it down mm-hmm. when it shot, brought, like as a pulley, I think.
When the mobsters would give people concrete shoes and they would attach them to pulleys to keep make sure that they yeah. to make sure that right. they stayed down.
Well, and they gave them like an airbag in case they needed to come up,
right,
to keep them down,
yeah. right.
It was
yeah.
It's a different time.
I don't get it. I just remember them looking at the diagram. They're like, this isn't to bring her up, or this is these chains are to keep her down, like whatever. There was a line in there about yeah. something. Blah, blah, blah. And I have no
and
idea.
They did. Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Now they're attacked by giant spiders. Not in the third act, mind you.
Oh,
this is not a John Peters production.
Those spiders were freaky. Like those are big spiders.
Yeah,
would not want to run into those. Oh no, it was fake looking. I just mean I would not want to run into
until it
thousands
bites,
of,
until it bites Nick.
And I thought it was
Val.
I thought it was kind of funny because Val's character, Val was the funniest, but he's shooting
just randomly
the spiders with an AK, like
right.
you know, just mowing them down. Like that's not gonna...
was that when you were a kid?
Pew, pew.
Yeah. are you playing a bee?
This is rapid fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Okay. Weird kid.
What was yours?
Yeah, what was your?
I used a real gun.
What?
I lived in the city. I had to have a choice.
What's your best rap like AK noise?
I don't know. I don't have one.
When you were a kid and you were like, did you go pew pew pew?
No, I probably had a lightsaber. And I was like, your bullets are dumb. Pew pew pew.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
So moving on.
Tom Cruise shoots the thing. The coffin comes up, and immediately he is. Entranced by something that he can't see, so he's transported back to ancient Egypt, where
for a sexy scene,
where you see her.
He had it in his contract. I get a sex scene with her.
Yeah,
because
I'm not gay,
Mr. Cruise. You do. Like I thought,
I'm so not gay. Did you see that?
He's
because
like,
of the not gayness.
But we
that.
Wrote you a scene with Val, and they're just. He's just like, no.
He's like, oh, I thought that was a girl name.
Oops.
Nate from New Girl is like, whew, saved. Thanks. So
you're the new girl now.
Yeah.
Oh.
The maraca broke.
So he
kind of gives them like a lowdown of who she was, like a flashback to who she was, and he is entranced by her. Then they somehow decide. So Val gets bit by one of the spiders. They get out of there. They pull the casket out.
They're out of time. The insurgents are coming back. So
right.
The law and order guy or whatever
get
says, get out of there.
So they get the tomb into this airplane. Val has started to get sick, and he's kind of like laying in a little ball. Tom Cruise. If they want to put him in an action movie, that's fine. Stop trying to make him seem like he gives a about the female. Like in every one of these action movies, what was the gal from? Oh,
lighter,
Maria Hill.
Lighter, pants on.
Maria Hill. Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
And Jack Reacher. Oh. They were just like, will they, won't they? Will they, won't they? And it's just like, I don't believe this for a second.
Right.
Not 1 second.
Is it because you don't believe Tom Cruise is
yes.
into women?
Yes.
He is an actor.
Yeah, so is Neil Patrick Harris, but I still believed he had the hots for what's her name from Gone Girl.
Yeah. But I'm saying is that why don't you think the character
because,
can
like,
care
the,
about...
The interactions between the two of them, between any, like him and Cameron Diaz, or him mm-hmm. and the gal from Oblivion, or him and Emily Blunt,
well,
like I don't believe it for a second.
I thought they were... Okay.
If you want to
but then they made him care way yeah. more than I'm like
way faster.
By the end of the movie he's like grieving and I'm like
this is a one night stand.
Hold up, man.
Like, yeah. Right, like you just hooked up with her.
Yeah.
And you're buddies.
If you want them
to be partners or friends,
yeah.
I probably have an easier time believing
and
that.
And if he was true to character by the end of the movie, I think he would have struggled with the choice between the two.
I agree because
honestly, I would have been like this mummy lady's got some valid points.
I
was sold. I was like, well, I'd be done. Like, if this were my movie, I'd be like, well,
can we just do this now then?
All right, you want to just stick that now? All right, do it.
Cool.
I completely agree, because when it got to the end, I'm like, the character arc, like, it just was way too rapid. It didn't make any sense, because that's not who this character was, and he was very self-sacrificial by the end. And it's
because
like,
they wanted to do not only a shared universe, but they want to put Tom Cruise
in the other movies. Yeah. So I just was like,
then make him Van Helsing.
This is the whole fault of this movie.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah,
is like,
it's like three different movies.
Yeah.
And not just in terms of storytelling, but in terms of tone.
Yeah, totally. There's a horror movie there. There's the monster movie there. There's an action movie. There's a romantic comedy.
And there's a comedy horror movie.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
comedy horror is tough. Like,
yeah.
Shaun of the Dead.
This is like old school comedy horror. This is like Abbott and Costello comedy horror.
Yeah, where the horror is real.
Yeah.
But they're still just like, we're joking.
And it's the reactions are like, oh, you know, but it's like this movie kind of does that. Like,
yeah, a little bit.
And it kind of works.
Certain scenes work.
Yeah. And
a little bit.
I wish it could have figured out what it wanted to be.
Who directed this?
Adam Kurtz.
Kurtz.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, you could just, and then like whenever Jekyll would show up, it would just be like,
you know, I wouldn't have mind.
And they showed, I like how they alluded to, like, we saw
everything.
Vampire skull.
The creature.
We saw the creature's hand.
And his head, right? You saw a head, right?
I don't know if I saw his head, but I saw, you know, and then there was something else I was like, I don't know what that was because it was too, you know.
Too quick.
They were trying too hard to set up their own Justice League type thing, and it just didn't work.
It didn't help that I think, if I remember correctly, this film had six different writers on the, like, and they collaborating the... That's why it jumped from
genre jumping.
Because I like the idea of them basically actioning up an old school mummy movie.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, like,
I think you have to.
And when it had the jump scares and the mummy was scary and they're coming after you. Uh-huh. And I really liked that part. Yeah. And it
worked in 1999.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
It did.
Oh, totally.
The second one, not so much. But it did kind of work. Just the fact that he wasn't really a mummy, and they made him an Egyptian guy most of the time, because it was like, but make him a mummy. Like, they did a good job of figuring out how to make her a mummy,
right?
And still have pseudo practical.
Well, she's a mummy about 3/4 of the way through it, and then she starts using her powers to not be the mummy anymore.
But she still kind of is, you know,
the monster.
Yeah,
sort of.
And they did a good job with, like, they didn't do like the, maybe we should make her a fast mummy, like the whole fast zombie thing. I was like, nope, she's still like,
she's powerful.
She's just trucking along. She does not need to go any faster.
That makes her scarier.
Yeah.
You know, and props to them for not CGIing up the entire joint.
Right.
They didn't.
To Tom's point, I mean, it's like that, go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was frustrating because there were things this movie did that I thought it did right and well, but it was just really outweighed.
By things that didn't.
By all this other stuff that, you know, again, another movie that's more concerned about the next three movies than the movie that they're in.
Focusing on this one.
Yeah.
And
all the Jekyll stuff was awful to me.
If he had just been Jekyll, and he's the guy who has this organization who knows the monsters. Mm-hmm. Oh, all right. I could buy that.
Right.
But when you have to, like, they didn't have to turn him into Hyde. You know what I mean?
I agree.
We didn't need to see it yet.
And no.
Especially if that's what it's going to look like.
Yeah, I'm good.
That was awful.
Yeah.
That was lazy.
They should have teased it.
That was some made for TV
stuff. The thing is, like, you don't have to tease it, though. Like, anybody who has,
we know
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Yeah. Like, that's
visually. Like, I just mean they should have been like, this is Dr. Jekyll and not, you know, so Mr. Hyde's coming.
We know who
that's
Jekyll
all they should have done.
It's like I said, I didn't even know it was him going into the movie. And so when they revealed it, I was like, oh, it's pretty cool. And
I think they should have held the reveal till the end.
Yeah. That he was Jekyll
Yeah. I think that would have helped it.
But they needed those scary monster fight scenes.
They don't work. But, no. I mean, that would have been a better reveal. It kind of, you know.
They won't let
remember,
me out,
Young Sherlock Holmes? Do you guys remember
that? Sure.
And the last, did you ever, like, there's
I don't
post,
think I finished
post-credit
it.
Sequence in that movie. And it's the very, very end of the post-credits. And it's his you know, it was his professor that he was a big, he was a friend with. And at the very end of the movie, because the professor, you know, they have the big, you know, he survives the big battle because they end up being, he ends up being a bad guy. In the very end of the movie, the professor goes to, like, checks into a hotel, and on the ledger, he signs his name, and his last name's Moriarty.
Mm. Ah.
Yeah, and that's what they should have done with this. Is like, cool. At the end, the payoff should have been, holy crap, it's Dr.
It's
Jekyll.
Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah. Like, I didn't, you know, it's like, right. Henry, and leave it at that.
You know why?
Because, and maybe, like, have some sort of weird tick or something, like, where you're like, well,
yeah. That's because I thought that's what they were doing with Tom Cruise, because they kept calling him Nick, and it felt like it was a long time before they told you his last name.
It was.
Right. And I thought it was going to be Van Helsing. And yeah. I was like, okay, that'd be
or,
cool.
Or, like,
and that makes him the center of the movie, of the
sure.
universe.
His last name doesn't even have to be Van Helsing. His last name could be something else, but, like, your mother...
Yeah.
What was your mother's real last name?
Your mother
was Van Helsing. Like, that's the, you know, yeah. I agree. I thought that's where they were going with him.
Or they should have named the organization Van Helsing.
That would be great. Yeah.
But
that would be one tough acronym to come up with.
Yeah.
But, like, that's, I think that's what this movie, these films are going to miss. Like, you kind of need that guy.
Mm-hmm.
As bad as that Hugh Jackman one is, like, and it is.
Yeah.
Ooh, doggy. That is bad.
So stupid.
They turn him into a werewolf. But
yeah,
like,
I was like,
he's a monster hunter. Like, that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the idea that you're not going to have that in this movie, like, each movie is going to have a different hero, right? But, like, none of them are going to really focus on the, like, you.
But the monsters aren't heroes.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
right.
you want a guy who's going to fight the monsters. And I think it's harder. The
right
lineup
now,
they've announced is very odd.
Right now, all you have is a rogues gallery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Without your heroes.
Right.
But then Tom Cruise, you know, fast forward.
Or
he ends up, I don't know, swallowing the bad juice or whatever. I don't even remember how he
stabs
somehow.
Himself.
Oh, he stabs himself. So he takes control and turns into some sort of monster, maybe Set.
Somehow the Earth Boy able to dominate the personality of an Egyptian god.
So not an established villain in this great pantheon of characters.
You have
now we have a new one who's supposed to tie them all together.
You have at least 30 movies of monsters, and you're just like, we're going to add one to that? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Who basically can do whatever he wants, because that's what we need as a plot device.
Yeah.
When Tom Cruise ends up stabbing himself and becoming the monster, I really thought Joe was right.
I was like, he's Dracula. That's exactly
although
why
it
I told
makes
you
sense
I was
because his last name was a Dracula or whatever. But I was just like, well, I'll be damned. Maybe Joe's right.
I thought he was going to turn into a vampire. Yeah,
I was close.
Which would have been better, because at least it was an established character. Although we saw the vampire's skull.
Yeah.
But I was just like, oh, now he's just made up cockamamie.
Well, it's all like the lineup that they have announced is just, it's very strange. So it's Johnny Depp as the Invisible Man, Javier Bardem as Frankenstein. Okay, that one sounds intriguing.
Does this mean that Johnny Depp, like, doesn't have to be on set? Like,
I was thinking that too.
So he's just going to read his lines.
Because here's the thing about this: right now you have Johnny Depp that can exist totally as a voice.
Yep.
Yeah. Right, and you have Tom Cruise that can exist totally as CGI.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Or doesn't have to be Tom Cruise. Just cover his face.
Yeah.
Well, like, yeah, because they're covering his face an awful lot in those scenes.
Yeah,
where I'm
so
like,
it's like, well, and crap. Like, that's, but, so they're not even announcing their Justice League. Like, this version of these Universal Monsters is the Justice League Europe. It's not, like, you don't have a Dracula, you don't have a Wolfman, you don't have the Creature, you don't have, the Hunchback, you don't have any, you know,
that's
Hunchback
true. It's
is
like the B
hard.
Team of the
it
monsters.
It is. It's the B
point,
with the exception of Frankenstein. Like,
right.
Frankenstein is the, you
who
know,
is Frankenstein?
Javier Bardem.
Okay.
Well, he's the Frankenstein's monster.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But.
Oh, well, he was great in Pirates 5. Oh, no, wait a minute. He was not great. Okay. Sorry. I must have confused those real quick.
So, yeah. So, Cruise is under some sort of spell from the mummy. Val is completely turned into a zombie at this point, and he ends up stabbing and killing Courtney B. Vance.
Are we back in the first 20 minutes of this movie?
Well, like, I'm just trying to, like, I'm going as fast as I can.
Well, I think we fast forwarded,
okay.
Though. I mean, we're...
So Tom Cruise is throughout the entire... it turns out that he is the chosen one now.
Yeah, she chooses
to be the vessel for Set.
That's why he kept seeing all those sexy scenes where he's making out with her and stuff in the sand. And
yeah,
she has chosen him because the guy that she was going to stab, she got darted. I think they killed him.
They're just like, we're not taking any chances.
Yeah. So he is the new one. And so the whole movie is them and their mummy squad. Like they basically could have called this movie The Mummies. Like,
yeah,
this
that's what they did in the Brendan Fraser one.
But I mean, this entire movie though, it was so uninteresting to me because let's resurrect these mummies, let's chase them, let's struggle and get away. It's just like
what she does is she will suck the life out of living people.
Gotcha. Again, my ex-wife. Yeah.
And that will make her younger.
That made sense at first because she had to go from mummy to
I think that might be a thing from the original. It's been 20 years since I've seen that movie, but I'm pretty sure that there's some sort of
we've seen that in other movies too.
Transfer of power to
stealing someone's life force. Yeah, you know?
I believe there was a movie called Life Force. Yes.
Starring Matilda May. Yes, that's I remember that woman's name. That's a Tobe Hooper movie. That's a Tobe Hooper canon movie.
There you go.
And that was a
glorious mess.
Yeah, that was the precursor to Tobe Hooper's Spider-Man.
That movie, Life Force, is just one of those. It's space vampires, and that's all you got to say
boobs.
About that.
PG boobs. Man, when it's 1982 and there's PG boobs.
And those boobs,
the R-rated version,
no joke,
is like just those, everything.
So they were pretty good?
They were impressive.
Pretty good?
That movie.
Yeah, they were pretty good, yeah. Yeah. They were no Adrian Barr boobs, but.
That's just one of those movies where I'm like, no matter where it's at, when it's on, I'm like, I gotta watch this now.
I think Shout Factory or Scream Factory.
Ooh, they got a deluxe edition of
that. So now I keep wanting to call it the DEO because I've been watching Supergirl, finishing up on season two. So they've got the mummy captured. They capture the mummy, and she is somehow she uses her power to use one beetle to crawl into a guy's ear.
Well, we've seen this with the spiders controlling him.
Oh, that's the Yoko Ono power.
Yes, exactly.
One beetle to
destroy the whole thing.
Yes.
I thought it was kind of neat. Like, again, the premise of controlling spiders and using them to infect people and do your bidding. Yeah. Like, the fact that...
So this is where also we get the fight scene between Jekyll... Hyde and Tom Cruise, which was awful. Yep.
Boring.
We don't want people to fall asleep. Nope. Okay, nope. Terrible.
So the worker that this woman that the mummy has possessed shuts down the mercury because they've been pumping the mummy full of mercury and they're gonna let it freeze
which
or
just,
something
like, solidifies
and
them.
I was like, well, now you just gave her adamantium bones, you idiot.
Yeah,
like, I've
like,
seen this movie.
She's
this
Lady
is now,
Deathstrike.
Yeah, right. Perfect. Oh, that wouldn't be so bad. I could see her as Lady Deathstrike. They have a character.
You know, if you can get mercury poisoning from eating too much tuna fish, I'm pretty sure these people are like pretty sick.
Oh, they're dead.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah.
It's one of those government things where just
the fact that she's been dead for very, very long time.
Yes, correct.
Whatever. Well, she's been buried in it, so she's developed
an immunity to it. Yeah.
She can eat as much tuna fish as she wants.
Correct.
And she's good.
It's like iocane powder.
Mm. Oh.
What is that?
From The Princess Bride.
Oh. Speaking of, I do see the...
Develops an immunity. He's been eating it.
The meme where the woman was like, I'm so happy
Princess
I've lived
Buttercup,
long enough to see my princesses become generals.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
That's enough about a better movie.
Sorry.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Continue. Two better movies. So she tricks the mind, tricks the guy, and then she starts puking up the mercury, which I was like, that's really gross. And then she breaks free, and then all hell has broken loose inside the... Now they've got Hyde who's fighting.
How riveting.
Yeah. So Tom Cruise at the same time was just like, you're really pretty. And then like stop, and then the... quote unquote love interest like pushes him out of the... That's all it takes to break the concentration of Tom Cruise, by the way. He's like, I'm just gonna push you. Oh, right. Sorry, there's a movie happening. I forgot what I was doing. So they end up underneath, like in the canals underneath London. And then there's another fight scene with
mummies to life, chase them.
I actually liked this scene. Was kind of cool where Tom Cruise and the girl are swimming. And they've got...
This is the one where I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be laughing or not. Like
when they're chasing them?
When they're swimming and and he's like doing this weird kind of frog swim.
Yeah. Yes.
And like he's not overhanded.
Doing?
He's frog swimming. And then all the zombies are frog swimming too.
Underwater zombies.
And he's like trying to get there quick. He's just like, it's this race to get to him.
Right.
And as silliness, like it worked.
I liked this. I thought I was
kind of like, oh, get there. Yeah. And it would, cause it really kind of like felt like that slow moving underwater.
Yes. Yeah.
So many times when they're underwater, they don't really feel slower.
Mm-hmm.
And so this kind of did that. And it was also kind of funny seeing all these zombies swimming the same way, which kind of makes sense because why would a zombie know how to swim? So that's how he's doing it.
I'll copy that guy. The way it was lit, I thought it was really creepy.
Yeah.
Like it was creepy, but I agree that it was also kind of funny.
Yeah.
But like it had that creepy tone, like the way the light would come through the water and kind of shine on the crusaders or whatever.
Did you talk about also how what's his name keeps popping up as Griffin Dunn from American Werewolf in London? Because I was like,
oh my god, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, because I was the
exact same thing.
The dead funny friend,
right? Like, where he's just like, I'm really messed up here, man.
Yeah.
It's like it's
gross. You shot me.
He's like, well. Okay, yes, I shot you twice. He's like, you shot me three times. He's like, the third time was an accident.
Yeah, the third time was too much or something like that. Yeah.
And I didn't mind that. Like, I thought that. But yeah, the Griffin Dunn, I was like, oh, all right.
It just seemed like too cheap. It was too much of a parody.
Yeah, but and it's because of the multiple writers.
Yeah.
Because this one, they lifted this, like, oh, that's a fun thing. Let's borrow from that. We'll borrow from that. And they just don't all.
I was waiting for him to be like, have you ever been dead? It sucks. Like, it's terrible. This is the worst. If you haven't seen American Werewolf in London, do yourself. Griffin Dunn plays the buddy of David Naughton, who gets mauled by a werewolf and keeps visiting David Naughton throughout the movie and just gets gnarlier and more decomposed until he's like just eyeballs and like in a porn theater.
Yeah.
John Landis classic before his career got cut off.
Come on, Joe.
Do you not get that joke? So he did a thing in the Twilight Zone.
He's the director of the Twilight Zone scene.
The guy got his head cut off.
Oh, yikes. That's right.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to bring up the kids, but.
Well, yeah,
a little too far, Dan. Morocco yourself, Dan.
I'm not going to Morocco myself.
Haven't we done enough jokes about dead kids this episode?
True. That's fair. That's a good point. So the mummy has kidnapped the love interest, and she's dead. Like, and also, like,
yes,
that's
the one night stand. When did that happen?
Yeah,
the one night stand.
Your body doesn't float in water like that. Like, that's not a thing that happens.
It must have been shallow right there.
Doesn't matter. She'll go to the top. She will always go to the top.
Well,
you don't just unless she's being weighed down by something.
She's being weighed down by the script.
She needs the pulley system. That's the problem.
She's being weighed down by the plot points.
You'll automatically because the gas is in your body. You will automatically go to the top.
It's fine.
I wasn't too worried about it.
Now there's another showdown in another tomb.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, please, just leave her dead. Just leave her dead. And
you know what?
I
think I
would have
owned. Like, I've been like, at least they owned it.
She's dead, and now he's mad. Just do it. You know.
But then she's like, you have the power to bring people back. He's like, oh sweet, I'm gonna stab myself with this thing, and then nobody knew that I had the stone for. So he becomes Set or a version of Set, and then he ends up.
But what's weird is why did he not become Set? Why did he get the powers? Was it because he did it to himself instead of the mummy doing it to him?
I don't know.
At this point.
Because he's supposed to be Set just taking over his body.
Yeah, you mean when he stabbed himself with the MacGuffin dagger?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
So the stone
of Deus Ex Machina?
That's the new Indiana Jones movie.
How they did this.
I did like how when he broke it, like the look of terror on her face, like, no, don't do that. And he crushes it. You know, I just thought it was cool.
So he plants a wet one on her and takes out her all of her essence and leaves her as like a husk.
Is that he does? Yeah. He kisses her?
Yeah.
I mean, he sucks out. Life force.
Life force.
He life forces her.
Life forces her. So then... our girl wakes up and she's alive.
Oh, what do you know?
What do you know? And Jekyll. Yeah.
I was really worried about that.
I was really invested in that character.
Yeah. They make her Van Helsing.
Yeah. They make her have to hunt down Tom Cruise.
Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have her be your through line throughout the movies.
She's cheaper. That's right.
Totally cheaper.
And he's not looking towards her because he's hiding his face.
right,
for that reveal that we won't get.
That we'll never get.
Yeah.
He'll be in shadow.
Based on the reveal of Mr. Hyde, I'm good with that. Yeah. I'll wait.
Yeah, it's like, we don't...
You take all the time you
need. I mean, we did see... They did bring in some spooky makeup for a moment when he yells at her. When he yells her awake.
Yeah, right.
And he had some pointy teeth.
That's why I thought he was a vampire.
Yeah.
I'm like, but doing like a creepy Nosferatu pointy teeth vampire.
I would be all right.
Right?
If they, yeah, I'd be cool with that.
But yeah, no.
No, no. So
we don't know what he is, though.
We don't know what he is.
Know who
yeah.
he is. Yeah.
He's, so Jekyll kind of takes, oh, he's like, look, he had to go.
Oh, good. More Jekyll scenes.
More Jekyll. Whew. And I don't mind him as Jekyll. Like,
it's all right. It's just boring.
It's whatever.
It's just.
So then we see Val and Nick are back together again.
Thanks for bringing me back to life, buddy.
Yeah, and the way they said that, it was like, I felt like that scene was like a reshoot scene.
Yeah.
They
were like, what, how is he alive?
That they went over, you know, they're in LA, so they're like, oh, let's go to Death Valley real fast. Yeah.
Let's do that right
wrap
quick.
Up this
that
scene.
That was like, come on.
I mean, I appreciate you bringing me back.
Yeah.
Did you groan out loud? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I just groaned.
It was
just
like
an audible groan.
It was such a bad line, like, just to say it like that. Like,
yeah. So he could join the ranks of like that funny friend from the National Treasure movies. And the
he's got to contend with
and Short like Round
Igor
and Sala and all the other wacky sidekicks.
I just picture like there's a sidekick bar, so there's like Igor, and then there's who was Dracula's like little buddy. Renfield,
yeah.
Igor,
yeah.
Nick from The New Girl.
Yeah, we're just gonna have all of them like, hey, wacky
bartend.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but they're
right.
gonna have like they're gonna have the serious sidekicks at that end and the wacky sidekicks at this end, and that guy's gonna be like, well, I'm kind of wacky, but this movie is
pretty serious,
so I'm not sure where I stand. I'll go in the middle.
The one scene that I didn't talk about that I did enjoy is when she is using the sands of Egypt, mm-hmm. and she starts breaking out, and she doesn't do any damage to the buildings themselves. But it's just all of the glass mm-hmm. that turns to sand.
Well, they're filtration systems.
That's terrible over there, apparently. But I did like the fact that like it's not the buildings that are breaking. It's just she's busting out all the glass and mm-hmm. turning it back into sand. Like I don't know why that was. I was like, that's science. Like that's actually all right.
She summoned the sands of Egypt too. So I was like, so did she have like a starter batch? Because it seems like it got there really, really fast. And I'm pretty sure
she's just like,
you know. I was like, wow, she really got them, you know, straight down the Thames.
Done.
There they are.
So, Joe, before we started recording, you said that there was that this ties into the actual Brendan Fraser mummy franchise.
So while our female lead is going through like all of the evidence in Jekyll's library, she picks up a book that is the book from the first mummy. So that first mummy where Rachel Weisz has that like that star key.
Okay.
Where
it's been.
So Rachel Weisz has this star key. And she has to put she has to put it into the book, and it turns, and there's all kinds of stuff inside the book. That book is in this movie, and she picks it up and starts going through it.
Now, is that book part of Mummy lore, or is that book...
I think it's part of the Brendan Fraser...
Of that, only that franchise.
Yes.
So it's not like... You can't. It's not like saying that, like, there's a mummy in this one, there's a mummy in that one. And
maybe Brendan Fraser, it's like a compass, kind of, that cracks open, and that becomes the key to... banish the mummy back to wherever it came from.
But the mummy franchise, that took place in like the 40s,
right? It did.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, yes. But, and I don't remember if it was Variety or Vulture or somebody, but they're like, this is not a reboot. Like, it's sort of a sequel because there would be no reason to have that book other than being like, it's such
other than just a nod.
But how many people are going to notice that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I did because I liked those movies. Like, I liked the first two. So it was just like, I chuckled, and then I read that, I was like, what? I mean, that's a deep cut. Like, that is, like, there's the Watcher in Guardians. Like, it's that deep of a cut, because nobody's going to remember that book for anything.
Right.
From a movie from 1999.
No, I don't remember.
So her name was Jenny Halsey.
Yeah, okay.
Which,
I mean,
it's like
maybe through
the Van Halsings.
Maybe through generations it's changed.
I don't know. It's like, that would have been a better...
Yeah.
That would have been a cool reveal if she was a Van.
Like, we changed your name for a reason.
Or just the reveal at the end.
I'm happy that we're making all these improvements.
We're writing the movie for him.
Yeah. What can we do to make this movie seem better?
Yeah. So, yeah, if that's true and it wasn't just a nod to a movie from 18 years ago, then this is a sequel to that, Which, I mean, it could be, because that movie took place in the 40s.
It is, yeah. I mean, it is set in the same continuity as Stephen Sommers' Mummy trilogy and its spinoffs.
So it's a sequel.
Now it's just kind of a bad sequel.
Well, now all that mummy stuff
is now
brought into the Dark Universe. Like, all that stuff from 1999 exists in this universe.
Then
I'm calling BS on all this stuff. Like, they're just like, well... Yeah. We want to have a really...
We did a Wolfman. Let's deluxe, just do that one, too.
We want to have a big deluxe box set at some point.
Yeah.
And just put them all together, you know, and say...
What this seems like to me is this is DC and their Justice League before doing the individual characters. They're trying... These people are trying to just start with franchises instead of starting with a foundation, which is solid films. Let's make our Dark Universe. Let's make our Justice League. Let's make, you know, because Avengers is so successful.
Yeah.
No, that's not how Avengers became successful. They're not following the formula. And you have to build the groundwork.
Yeah. And it's not like Avengers, they did like 12 movies to get to Avengers for a shared universe. They did 3.
Is that what it was?
No, they did. Iron Man 2,
Thor, and Captain America.
Well, technically Hulk.
Hulk?
And technically Hulk.
So they did 4, okay. 5, and then
okay, but
Avengers.
Still, that's like, there's some world building that happened. Yeah, there's some architecture that actually happened before. Before saying, ta-da!
Just bring out a new movie every, like,
which is why
I
still just scoff at Suicide Squad. I'm like, not only are you just trying to do it all at once, but you're starting at the wrong end.
Right. Yeah.
You haven't earned a Suicide Squad.
No. Let's get your core heroes first.
So that's what's wrong with this is like, and the fact that it's like, they're like, okay, it's a shared universe, plus we have Mr. Franchise in it.
Yeah.
By the way, we got to make sure it all revolves around Mr. Franchise. So give him, I don't know, godlike powers that he may be good or he may be bad, you know, monsters fighting monsters. And also he can do whatever he wants.
Well,
so
there's
that
no
way,
point to have him maybe bad because you know there's no way Tom Cruise is going to play the villain.
Right.
He just, not in a movie like this.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think Interview with a Vampire, he was a villain.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
was
20
Collateral.
Years ago.
Yeah.
And Collateral was the most
collateral. No, Collateral wasn't the villain. He was the villain.
He was not a good guy.
Yeah.
He was an assassin.
That tricked
Jamie Foxx into driving him around town and not getting him killed.
Magnolia.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, now you're in art house territory.
No, I know.
But I mean,
it's like, and it's funny because the one of the trailers before the movie was the new Tom Cruise movie where
that
he's
looks better than the one we're going to watch.
That,
you know,
didn't look that
pilot.
Bad.
Yeah. I'm like,
no, I was like, oh, don't show me other Tom Cruise movies before I have to watch this.
Which I'm like, well, at least there's that one.
Yeah.
Because I was like, that one looks interesting.
I thought the same thing.
They showed that first thing. Yeah. And I'm like, you're kidding. I just got here to watch this crap and I have to watch this trailer.
But this, I mean, that's a, I liked The Mummy, and I liked when they showed The Mummy, and I was like, and I'm kind of like, I would like to see the return of that mummy, but I don't want
you
this
won't.
Other crap. They left it open-ended enough.
Yeah, I guess.
So is this movie, I guess because of international, maybe it is, but is it big enough to keep this franchise steamrolling?
I think they're
already in. They already did a new logo and everything.
Well,
that's true, though. They did. They
God,
paid money.
When it goes the universal and it spins around
the
to
Dark Universe.
Come on.
I don't mind that.
I know, but I was just, but again, it's the cart before the horse. I saw that and I'm just like,
well, that's if they can keep the name Dark Universe.
Right.
Yeah, DC has filed a lawsuit. DC/Warner Brothers for the Dark Justice League Dark. I don't know if that's what they're going to call it or, but
I'm going to play marketing guy for a second. So they have Universal. It comes around on the globe and we see it there. And what they should have done is slowly revolve the globe and keep Universal. And then revolve it and keep the letters there and then add the word Universal Dark underneath it.
Yeah.
And Universal stays. So it's Universal and then they revolve and then it's Universal Dark.
Yeah.
They can keep it the same. That's what they should.
It might be
the continuity of Universal. Because the first thing I thought was, you change your name.
You don't change your brand name. Yeah, now Dark Universe is the brand. And it's like, this is a Universal
movie. And it wasn't Dark Universal, which would it just sort of doesn't. It's backwards.
I thought
I was like, all you had to do was just add the word dark to it.
My marketing guy
spin the globe around to the backside and be like, whoa. Yeah.
I said the same thing. I'm like, this is very weird for a company to change their name, like their company that's making these movies.
So you don't need an agency to come up with that.
Yeah,
you just need somebody who's not an intern.
Not blind.
Or an executive.
Yeah.
Also true.
All you had to do. Just add the word
between dying. Intern or no, between infant and executive. There's someone in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2017, and even they're still 20th Century Fox. Even they didn't. We're right, like, oh, right. We need to rebrand.
Nope. Yeah, no, like, they sometimes they will. Like, I think for they were 30th Century Fox when they would do Futurama.
That was a tongue in cheek. Yeah, that wasn't really a rebranding. No. So.
So there you go. This is The Mummy. It's go see Wonder Woman.
Yeah. I think Hollywood's takeaway with that $30 million opening is like, well, man, we made this movie, The Mummy, where one of the main characters was a woman. So clearly the female-driven movies don't make money.
Nope.
Got to bail on all of them.
And it's not her fault. I mean,
was good.
It was a good update.
Yeah.
Movies like this are more frustrating than just bad movies, because like, there was a good movie in here somewhere.
Right.
Like, and they really just went out of their way to not make it.
Yeah. And the 99 version, I mean, the one thing that I kind of did like about it is it was campy.
But it
there was a campiness
it.
To it.
It owned that campiness.
And you know, and I've seen a lot of articles popping up saying, if you want to see a good one, just watch the 99 version again.
Which is funny, because in 99, it wasn't really all that well reviewed.
Oh, really?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, but people were just like, yeah, it's Poor Man in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, but I think people are seeing it differently now. So.
Yeah, the bald, not mummy guy.
Right.
The Egyptian guy. Oh, I was so mad when I saw that movie. He's really a mummy in the movie.
So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of mummy movies.
Are there now?
There are. But the one that really stuck out, and the one that actually the original is classic, and it's beautiful, beautiful movie.
Mummy Dearest.
No, close. Oh. No, Monster the 1950. Oh, come on, man. They
just
wasted.
Just even saying the name.
No, is the 1959 Hammer version with Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Oh, yeah. With MC Hammer and ODB.
Yeah, see, that's where I got confused.
Yeah.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, please, mummy, don't hurt him. It actually skates pretty close to a lot of what we have here, because it's the inverse where Peter Cushing is a, you know, Egyptologist. He's with his father and another person, and they find a tomb and inadvertently defile the tomb. And it kind of gets into what I like about it. It's a beautiful, the color of that movie and the production value. And it's kind of funny to watch Hammer movies now, because back in the day, they were considered somewhat, you know,
hokey.
Yeah, hokey and more a pulp.
Yeah,
you know, and kind of like schlocky.
They had like, the colors are really like vibrant, oversaturated,
and when you watch them now, they've you know, people looking at them with a different eye.
Man, those Christopher Lee Dracula movies, they get a little
so good.
They go off the rails towards the end.
They do. I
mean,
like
1972 is really
This is 59.
Yeah,
And it's spooky, and Christopher Lee plays, you know, he was, we see that the living goddess has died and they're going to bury her, but instead of, you know, they were going to bury her, you know, and part of, you know, 1,000 miles away to be, you know, where she was born. He actually ends up having her buried nearby. So it's sort of the inverse of what they did. And he also is that he's sort of the high priest and had a secret affair with her. And is, you know, trying to resurrect her from the dead. And they go through the chanting and they talk about all the embalming and everything. I mean, they actually talk about more Egyptology in that movie than any of this has. Like, this is just like the Reader's Digest version. And ends up getting caught and is mummified alive and to watch over her body. And, I mean, if you've ever seen Christopher Lee as the mummy, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
So he's a pretty ominous, you know, mummies, and they have him covered in mud, and it's just gooey.
It's
gooey. A very gooey mummy. But I mean, it holds up. It's, you know, it's a good, like, an hour and a half. If you ever get to see it, I mean, see how, you know, the original source material was much better than, you know, what you're seeing here, as far as the mumminess of it.
Yes.
I mean, this had a good care, you know, the new one has a good character design and some pieces of a good movie, but this, I mean, that's a classic.
Wonder what she does with those extra two eyes.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's,
and then when Tom Cruise had them,
you,
yeah, I was like,
they're so close together, it's not like one's really like,
yeah,
on her
was,
like,
I wasn't sure what the point of that was, other than
red,
it was a cool effect.
It? Yeah,
because it looks cool.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Like, that's the Zack Snyder way, man.
Oh,
Because it looks cool.
Man.
No, he's messing up this one now, too.
Yeah, he's involved fingers in all the pies.
Oh. We'll leave it there.
I will enjoy cake. Yeah. Well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, no problem.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We can go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Brad. You can find me on Facebook in the League of Show Sharers and on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. We're available on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. You'll never miss an episode again.
And we're probably going to do Rock Dog if you don't leave us a review.
Oh,
so.
Rock Dog is reared his ugly head.
The Rock Dog Challenge is back.
No.
More Rock Dog. That's what everyone says. They're clamoring for Rock Dog.
Yeah.
So what is the movie next week?
Cars?
Cars 3,
I guess. Yeah. So how about that? So that's
or Rock Dog.
Or Rock
Anytime
Dog.
Anytime a kids movie comes up.
That might actually be to our advantage to do Rock Dog.
Over Cars 3?
Over Cars 3. Not a big Cars guy.
I like that they switched up the second one and made it more of a spy movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unused Paul Newman in this. Doc Rant. Hudson.
Oh, I was like, Rant.
Yeah. They had
some stuff. So I'm curious to see how that. I don't know. I don't think we've been. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Cars has been like, but John Lasseter really, really loves that franchise.
Well,
sells a lot of toys.
Yeah. It does sell a lot of toys. That's why they picked it.
You know, I always mention every once in a while, like I go down the toy aisle at Target, and there's still Cars 2 toys, being what, 5 years ago or whenever that was, 6 years ago, I don't even remember, and they're still there, brand new, not on clearance.
You know why? It's like, because all they have to do is roll.
Yeah.
There's no like toy tech that like gets dated on that stuff.
I just wonder though, it's like we're so close to Cars 3, are those swapped out now or like, you know?
They're going through putting stickers on
it.
They're just drawing an extra line. Three.
Oh, so like Lightning's new outfit.
Yeah. Next time do Roman numerals, it's easier to just
put the other one. Yeah.
Until you get to 5. Or four. Yeah. So anyway, I guess we will do Cars 3 on next week. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, the statue of Isis destroys the scroll of Thoth. I see a red door and I want it painted black. No colors anymore, I want them to turn black. Goes. I see a line of cars and there are painted. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.